We're continuing in our series in Galatians, and my installment today is on sonship. And just as a refresher, Paul has written this letter to the Galatians. The refresher is that Paul has written this letter to the Galatians just to warn them about these false teachers that have come into the church. And we see Paul getting a bit frustrated with them, but also he's getting anxious because the Galatians are his like spiritual children. You know, he first brought the gospel to them. So he's getting a bit anxious and he's getting a bit worried about them because these false teachers, they've come in and they're teaching these Galatians. They're teaching them that they need ceremonial laws in order to be accepted by God. So it's not just faith in Jesus Christ to be accepted and righteous before God. It's just faith in Jesus Christ plus ceremonial laws. And so effectively, what they're doing is they're bringing the Galatians under the law again. They're bringing them back into slavery and confusing their identities as righteous sons of God through Jesus Christ. And so Paul, he's in the scripture I'm going to read today, he's beating the drum of sonship in opposition to slavery to the law. Now I think that you can agree with me. In the world today, we have a little bit of a crisis of identity. People not fully knowing or understanding who they are. They're putting their trust in things that are temporal and things that are volatile and things that they just bring no security, no satisfaction. People are seeking self-worth, acceptance, all these things, security, all these things in other things other than in Jesus Christ, in the fact that they are sons of the Most High God. And so it feels like there's this sense of hopelessness that's growing. You know, there's this water table of hopelessness that's rising, and there's this, as a result, there's this fear and there's this anxiety that's coming into people's hearts because of it. And I'm not just talking about those that don't know Jesus Christ. I'm talking about Christians. These Galatians were Christians. They knew who Jesus Christ was. They were born again, and they knew they were sons, and yet they're allowing themselves back into slavery. They're following ceremonial laws, which is a bit crazy. And so it's my heart today, friends, to remind us all, to remind every one of us of who we are, to reset our identity as sons and daughters of the Most High God, to reset our identity as righteous ones, loved ones, accepted ones, to reset our identity as co-heirs with Jesus Christ of all things, looking forward to spending an eternity in the presence of our Father. What a wonderful time that'll be. So I just want to pray before we kick off. Father God, I pray that you would please, by your Spirit, reassure us today, Father. Reassure us of our adoption as sons and daughters into your family, heirs of all things, God. Reassure us that we are loved and we are accepted by you, our perfect, loving, good Father. Pray, Lord, that you would just reassure us that we are purchased and that we are made righteous by the blood of Jesus Christ. I pray, Lord, that you would just reassure us that we are free sons of God, that we are not slaves, Lord. And I pray that, God, you would just empower us with a sense of hope. Lord God, I pray that you would just push out the fear, you would push out the anxiety, Father God. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. So my scripture today is in Galatians. It's chapter 4. It's verse 1 to 8 if you want to follow along. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 1 to 8. Let's read it. I mean that the heir, as long as he is a child, is no different from a slave, though he is the owner of everything. But he's under guardians and managers until the date set by his father. In the same way, we also, when we were children, were enslaved to the elementary principles of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then you are an heir through God. Formerly, when you did not know God, you were enslaved to those that by nature are not God's. The sermon today has got a simple structure. It's got 2 points. First of all, you are a son. And then second of all, we're going to look at what it means to be a son. Now before I kick off, I just want to clarify something. Because I'm sure that the ladies, when they heard me say sonship and sons, they turned off and they thought, okay, this is not for me, I can relax, but that is not true. Let's look at Galatians chapter 3, verse 28 to 29. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is no male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. So we are all one through our faith in Jesus Christ. We're all one. We're not the same, but we are all one. And so in the context of this scripture today, and in the context of what I'm preaching today, sons and sonship, whenever we refer to that, it refers to all of us. We are all one through our faith in Jesus Christ. So nobody's off the hook. Okay, so you are a son. As mentioned, the false teachers have come into the Galatian church and they're teaching that it's not just by faith in Jesus Christ that we are saved, but it's also with the laws and the traditions of man. So these false teachers, in fact, are also establishing these little cliques, these little elite clubs. And the kind of the Galatians are feeling on the fringes, and they're feeling like in order to be accepted in these little clubs, they need to now follow the ceremonial laws and listen to these false teachers. And so that's exactly what they're doing. They're following ceremonial laws because they seek this acceptance by others, right? And we know, we absolutely know, we see it in the scripture, as Paul says, we are saved by grace through faith alone. It is only through our faith in Jesus Christ and what he's done on the cross that we are made righteous. You see, it's the great exchange. Jesus paid the punishment for our sin, right, with his life, with his blood. And so he's taken our sin upon him and he has given us his righteousness. His blameless, righteous life is accounted to us. So we are righteous, accepted, loved sons of God because of Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. Not anything we've done, anything we could do, no works, no laws, no ceremonial practice. None of that. It's Jesus and Jesus alone. It's not Jesus plus laws or ceremonial things or Jesus plus works. And so now the Galatians, they have allowed themselves to fall back into slavery. Their pattern of behavior is now that of a slave when they are not slaves. They are sons. They have compromised their identity as righteous ones. They have established their identity in works. They've established their need, their identity in their need of acceptance by others. Now, before you frown at the Galatians, I just want to put it out there, propose to you that aren't we quite the same in some areas of our lives? Don't we also do that? Don't we sometimes try and establish our self-worth and our acceptance and our security and our empowerment in other things too? Perhaps for some of us, it might be our job and our work. Maybe that's where we find our sense of self-worth or our identity or our security. We have a job, we're earning a salary, our security is in that. The security of our family is in our jobs. And aligned with that is money. Security is in money, collecting as much money as we can so that we are secure in life and our families are secure in life. Or perhaps with money, it's possessions, it's material possessions, you know, so that you have a better sense of self-worth or value in the eyes of those around you. Or perhaps it's acceptance of people, people's opinions. Maybe people's opinions matter a lot to you because it gives you a sense of self-worth or value, right? Or maybe it's you as a parent, you know. You parenting gives you that sense of value. Your kids loving you, that your value is in your kids. Or maybe it's your health. Maybe it's your health or your youth or your good looks. That's where your sense of security or your value is, which is aligned with people's opinions and impressions. In essence, these things are not sinful things, but they do become sinful when these things become your identity. That's when they become sin. It's when you place your trust in these things that they are sin. It's when you look for your satisfaction, you look for your joy, you look for your peace in life in these things. But I think if you're like me, you might have realized by now through experience that these things don't bring lasting security. They don't bring a peace, a joy, a satisfaction. These things are unpredictable, they're volatile, they're temporal. The world is a very volatile, temporal place. Things change. We cannot control anything in the environment around us. You know, governments, economies, markets, businesses, bosses, salaries. These things are so volatile. Your trust and your security can't be in these things. The lives of your children and family members and loved ones around you. It's an unpredictable place. You can't control and you can't secure them. You can't control the environment around and you can't control their decision making. It's not within your power. Your youth or your health or your eternity, you have no control over that. It's not by works that you can control any of those things. There's no security in those things, no satisfaction, no joy in those things. And at some point you may have experienced, like me, sense of hopelessness at this reality. Hopelessness as the volatility and uncertainty of everything around us. And maybe, like me, that has brought a sense of fear and a sense of anxiety that's kind of got you here. Right now, maybe you're feeling the pressure of that. Maybe you're feeling unsettled and unrested and you don't have a sense of peace and rest and joy and satisfaction. That is slavery, friends. It is slavery. I don't know who you think you are or where you're putting your trust. But you are not a hopeless slave. We are not hopeless slaves. We used to be a slave to sin. We used to be a slave to the law. We used to be without hope, hopeless. But now, through Christ Jesus, we are righteous, free sons of the Most High God. We've been adopted into His family through faith in Jesus Christ. We are forgiven. We are loved. We're accepted by a perfect, loving, good Father. We are all co-heirs with Jesus Christ of all things. We are sealed by His Holy Spirit. We've got that promise, that guarantee through His Holy Spirit of what He's saying, that we will one day inherit all things and we will spend an eternity in our Father's presence. We are new creations. We are regenerated. We're empowered by His Spirit to live as sons, to live as righteous ones. He created you. He created you and He saved you. Your purpose, your life, your provision, your loved ones, everything is wrapped up in Him. Your security is in Him. Your identity is in Him. And your satisfaction and your peace and your joy are definitely in Him and Him alone. You are a son of God. So now that we have a little bit of an inkling of who we are in Christ Jesus, sons adopted into God's family, let's now look at what it means to be a son. Let's go back to Galatians 4. I just want to reread verses 4 to 8. Galatians chapter 4, 4 to 8. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. Formerly, when you did not know God, you were enslaved to those that by nature are not God's. So Paul's using this terminology here of adoption. Adoption of sons into his family. Let's look at adoption for a quick moment. In Roman times, when a father didn't have a son to carry on the family name and to inherit the family business and inherit all the things that he had, what he would do is he would adopt a grown man. So he would adopt a grown man into his family. It would be a legal transaction. This grown man would become a legally adopted son of the father. He would be the heir of all things, and he would inherit everything that his father had. It's a legal position. It's done, and it cannot be undone. That's what it means. And one commentator said that these adopted sons, strangely enough, oftentimes they would better represent the character of the father. Quite an amazing thing, isn't it? And I think it's probably because they don't come into the family with a sense of entitlement. You know, they've been brought in from the outside, and they have this just sense of gratefulness that they've received this amazing gift, this amazing inheritance. Another very interesting thing about fathers and sons in ancient times is that sons would more often than not, they would become their fathers. They would inherit the father's role or business, right? So if your father was the baker in the town, known as the baker in the town, you would essentially become the baker, right? And Joseph, who was Jesus' earthly father, he was the carpenter. And Jesus, for a time, was known as the son of the carpenter. And then, for a time, Jesus was also known as the carpenter. It's quite an amazing thing. And so I can just picture it. You know, the sons would be spending time with their father, and they would be watching their father, and the father would be imparting his values to them and his skills to them, and they would be growing in the character of the father. They would be growing in the identity of their father, learning the family business, ultimately inheriting everything. And they would become like their father. It's an amazing thing. And isn't that quite similar with us? And isn't it the same? We, when we are adopted into God's family and we become His sons through faith in Jesus, we too become legal heirs. We become legal heirs, going to receive the full inheritance of the Father. And as we walk with God through His Spirit, He's also changing us and He's teaching us and He's imparting His values to us. And He's imparting His character to us. And we are growing in His character, growing in His identity. It's a beautiful thing, a beautiful picture. Now, for a moment, I just want to focus on the identity part, you know, that legal status as sons, the mindset of a son. Now, I really believe that a misalignment of who we believe we are with who we are as sons is the reason for this putting our trust and identity in the wrong things, this hopelessness and this fear and this anxiety that are creeping in. There's a misalignment of who we believe we are versus who we actually are as sons of God. So the mind plays a role. Psychologists would tell you that what you believe about yourself will determine your behavior. So even though you are an adopted son of God, if you believe you are a slave, you're going to behave like a slave. You're going to act like a slave, like the Galatians were doing. Your behavior will follow what you believe about yourself. But if you believe in line with your reality, your legal status, that you are sons of God, adopted sons of God, that you are righteous, accepted, loved, empowered, your behavior will follow suit, won't it? Now, friends, this is not positive thinking. I'm not standing up here. I'm not Oprah. I'm not Dr. Phil. I'm not Tony Robbins. I'm not trying to help you believe the way to a better you by changing your mind and changing your behavior. That's not what this is about. This is very different. You see, you already are a son. God has done it. God has put His Spirit in you. If you're a Christ follower, God has put His Spirit in you. He's made you a new creation in Christ Jesus. The old is gone, the new has come, your DNA has changed, you are now a son of God, no longer obligated to sin, righteous, accepted, loved by your Father. That's who you are. That is the reality of things. So what I'm talking about is simply bringing who you believe you are, what you believe about yourself, in line with who you are, well, who God has already made you to be. It's an alignment of identity. So it's a renewing of the mind. It's this mindset set on the fact that you are a son of God. The Galatians, I believe, they're confused. They're confused about their identity as sons, and they are made to believe that they need to be accepted into these clubs. So the acceptance thing is coming in. And they are deceived into believing that now they must act like slaves. They must work for their salvation and work for the acceptance of their Father. So it's a confusion of their identity. It's a messed up belief of who they are. I really feel like as a body we need to get this. We need to get it. We need to get the mind of a son. We need to understand that we are sons of God. We are righteous. We are accepted. And so we need to get into the Word, and we need to day by day, moment by moment, be in the Word, reminding us of the blood-bought promises of Jesus Christ, reminding us of who the Father is, reminding us of who we are in the Father, reminding ourselves that we are sons. We need to be renewing our mind and filling ourselves with the reality of who we really are. So there's a role for us to play in terms of renewing the mind, right? But friends, we don't do that in our own strength, right? We have help to do that. As I said previously, when we become born again, God puts His Spirit in us, right? So let's look again at Galatians 4, verse 6. I just want to read that again, verse 6. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, then an heir through God. Abba, Father. Abba, Father. Part of our identity and inheritance as sons is the Holy Spirit. We receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. God places His Spirit in us to help us emotionally connect with our reality, connect with our identity as sons and daughters. The Holy Spirit helps us to emotionally realize and to know that we have a Father who loves us, who accepts us. We have a Father who has made us righteous. It helps us to know and understand that we are sons of an amazing good Father who loves us and accepts us and has made us righteous through the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. That's the thing that the Holy Spirit helps us do. The Holy Spirit helps us cry out, Abba, Father. It helps us cry out, Daddy God, because Abba, Father means Daddy God in Aramaic. It's a very intimate, personal thing between a son and a father. Daddy God, it helps us with that realization. It helps the link. He is Daddy God, our loving Father. What a beautiful privilege, friends. The God of the universe, the creator of all things, is our Daddy. He's our Daddy. We have a privilege of being intimate with Him. We have the privilege of being His sons. A Father who has fought the greatest battle for us, who has purchased us twice. A Father who loves us, who wants to walk with us, who wants to take care of us and secure us and provide for us. What a privilege. What a beautiful thing it is. As sons, that's what we are. So now, with this mindset of son, with this mindset of believing that we are sons, we believing now that we are righteous, that we are accepted, that we are forgiven, with that kind of a mindset, the Holy Spirit inside us can then come and work through that mindset, helping us to become like our dad, helping us to put down ungodly attitudes and behaviors. Holy Spirit is helping us through this correct mindset, is helping us to live righteous, obedient lives, helping us to love, helping us to forgive, helping us to accept others, just as our Father accepted us, loved us, forgave us of the greatest debt. And why wouldn't we, son? Why wouldn't we? You know, as sons, we know that we needed much forgiveness. And so, we therefore, through the help of the Holy Spirit and this mindset of a son, knowing that we needed much forgiveness and were given much forgiveness, we then forgive much. That's kind of how that process works. Last week, Masuli, he preached on walking in step with the Spirit, being guided and led by the Spirit and allowing the Spirit to bring forth the fruit of the Spirit in our lives and in our character, effectively growing in the character of Jesus, growing in the identity of the Father. And so I missed it, unfortunately, but I believe it was excellent. And I really want to encourage you to download that from the website and listen to it. It'll really be helpful for us. Now, if you're here today and you feel like you're struggling with this reassurance, you don't feel like you have the Spirit in you reassuring you of your sonship, reassuring you that you have a Father who loves you and you're a son who is loved and accepted. If you're struggling with that idea, if you're struggling to put down bad attitudes, and we all struggle, absolutely, but if you feel like there's like nothing inside you working to help you change, to help you grow in the character of the Father, I'm going to pray for us. As we conclude towards the end, I'm going to pray for all of us for that reassurance. But if that's you, I want to see you afterwards. I want to talk to you because your Father wants to bring you into the family. Your Father wants to make you a son. Your Father wants you to know that He loves you. He accepts you. You are righteous and He wants to take care of you. He wants to bestow upon you sonship and heirship of all things, looking forward to an eternal life in His presence. So in conclusion, I want to tell you a little story, a story that really resonates with me. In a recent series here at church, I heard the story, and I think it's just such a beautiful story. And it's about this little boy. And this little boy, he makes this little model, and it's really precious to him. He's taken a lot of time to create the detail, and he knows it so well, and he cherishes this little model, and he puts it out on the bay, but it gets away from him, and it's gone, and he's lost it, and so he's distraught. But then one day he's walking down the road and there he sees his model in the window. And he knows it's his model because he knows every fine detail of that model. He put it together with a lot of love. And so he goes into the shop and he says to the shopkeeper, "Sir, that's my model. I know it's my model. I lost it. Please, can I have it back?" But the shopkeeper says, "I'm sorry, son, I can't do that. But what I can do for you is I'll take that model, I'll put it aside, and I'll hold it as long as I need to for you to get the money together to buy it." So the son, disappointed but determined, he goes off and he starts collecting the money and doing chores, and eventually he gets the money together and he goes back to the shop and the shopkeeper and he pays for the model ship and he gets this model ship back. And so as he's walking out the door, holding his model ship back in his arms again, he's whispering under his breath and he's saying, "You are mine. You are mine twice over. I made you and now I've purchased you." And I really feel like that is what God is saying to us today. That is what he's saying over us every day. He's saying, "You are mine. You are mine. I created you. I know you. I know every hair on your head. I created you for a plan. I've created you for a purpose. I have a destiny for you. I want to love on you. I want to walk with you and lead you and help you and secure you and provide for you. You are mine. And I bought you. I bought you with the biggest price of all time, the blood of my son, Jesus Christ. I purchased you back. You are mine twice over. My sons, my cherished ones, my accepted ones, my loved ones." He wants you to know that today, friends. You are his sons. You are loved, accepted as you are. No work, no amount of seeking perfection is required for his acceptance of you. He loves you. He loved you before the foundation of the earth. He loved you while you were still sinners. He loves you.